It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
All righty then. Time for California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, of course, my co-host. And today we're featuring our friend wine importer, Don Chigazola. And as I said earlier, any day that I get to say Chigazola is a good day for me.
Thanks, Steve. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
It's great to see you.
I'm very excited today because I brought some wines to share with you from a very special district in Italy called Barbaresco. And so the and I've got all wines from a single family producer in Barbaresco, so you're going to be able to taste all of their wines.
I'm looking at the website, your wine blog from earlier, last month. The wines of Avellino in Campania. Avellino, that's where Tony Soprano's family's from.
Yeah, southern Italy.
Yeah. That's where my family's from.
Yeah,
we're in Napolitan.
Yes, you told me that before.
Well, explain, as I always have you do, it's ChigazolaMerchants.com, but
correct.
Explain what it is you do, and you're based in Sonoma County.
Correct. I'm a resident of Santa Rosa, lived here 35 years.
Wow.
I retired from the tech world about 6 years ago, and I now drive the back roads of Italy with my son, looking for small artisanal producers of native Italian varietal wines. And when I find an outstanding wine that I think is a great representative of their district and their area, I create a relationship with them, import their wines here to Northern California, and distribute them wholesale and also direct to consumer. And I'm pleased the business has done well for the last 5 years, and I'm now distributing wines to customers all over the country.
Yeah, amazing. Great story. And Dan?
Well, when I discovered that Don was living right here in town, I figured this was a resource, but didn't realize how good the wines were. His entire portfolio is very, shall we call it, boutique in a certain way. The wines are really not going to be available widely because they don't make very much of this. But this is a great producer. It's Fontana Bianca. Easy to say if you pronounce it properly. good producer. And it's the first wine we're having is an Arnais.
Now, explain this. I mean, I was thinking this was a Chard of some sort. Is this an Italian Chardonnay style? Or?
Chardonnay can be made seriously or frivolously. And there's a lot of frivolous Chardonnay out there, and some Chardonnays are very serious. This one is a very serious Arnais. There's a lot of Arnais is made frivolously. This one's a serious one because it's really dry.
Arnais.
And it's a grape variety that's native to northern Italy. You'll see it elsewhere in a couple of other places, but it's really a very shy-bearing grape, so it doesn't really produce very much fruit, therefore not very much wine.
Do we grow any here?
I don't know there's any grown in the United States.
I think there might be a producer trying to grow some here in Sonoma County. I haven't tried it, but I hear that there is a producer in Sonoma County.
Introduce our other guest who I said, have you been in before? He looks somewhat familiar. And he said, yeah, I think I was on the drive 35 years ago. And I said, yeah, well, I've been here. That would have been me, yeah.
This is my go-to expert on Italian wine. It's Bob Andrews, who speaks fluent Italian. That's a good thing. And Bob and I have been friendly for several years, and this has been a great relationship because Bob has some of the best old Italian red wines in his cellar, and we share, and it's always fun. So,
are you Italian on your mother's side, or is it just because Edwards is not an Italian name?
Andrews.
I'm sorry.
It was the part of England and Scotland that belonged to Italy at one point.
There you go. We'll take that. come stai. Great
Molto
to see
bene,
everybody.
Grazie.
Yeah, you see. This wine. Let me have Dan talk about what you're getting from this.
So this one is relatively complex. It's not the simple fruity wine that you would get if it were $5 a bottle. This is Arnais is typically a somewhat low acid grape in it, and the reason is that it's an uneven ripening grape in northern Italy. So if you wait until all those fruit flavors have developed it's too late and you've lost the acid. Here, the winemaker is really careful to make sure he's got plenty of acid. So the end result is you get more of the minerality, and a little bit more. There's a little bit of chamomile tea in here. It's got some nice fresh flavors.
Yeah, I can tell you know the tea thing.
Yeah,
I can taste that.
Well, it's just an interesting variety, and you don't see it in this fashion very often. And this is not a very – what's the price on this, Don?
$25.
So this would be fair enough in terms of if you're spending $30 for a bottle of Chardonnay, you're basically buying the oak, or you're buying some flavors that are higher alcohol. This is a lower alcohol. This is a more food-friendly. I start to think about what would be this go with. This would go with any kind of seafood that does not use cream in it.
Oysters.
Oysters is great.
Yeah.
Oysters, fabulous. Shellfish, salmon, and any whitefish.
That makes sense.
They pour this, by the way, by the glass at Riviera Restaurant on Montgomery Drive and pair it with their special
this particular
today. That exact one.
Wow.
And pair it with their salmon or their sole, and it's fabulous.
And a guy who's not Italian, but... Bob, your thoughts on this.
It's deliciously dry and unweighty.
Yes.
And it would go with so many things that I'm sure listeners can't see that we're having prawns marinated in olive oil right now.
And Mike just brought in a bunch of oysters, so but they can't see that. It's delicious. What's the, Don, what's the alcohol on this?
And the alcohol on this is, I believe, 13%.
Okay.
So this would be about a point and a half less than most Chardonnays.
Yeah.
But the flavors are all rich enough in the mid-palate to go with any of this food. Now, the reason I suggested against going with cream-based sauces is that the cream would make this taste a little almost metallic.
And yeah.
The cream changes the way you would perceive the food.
It overshadows what
we're
tasting.
If you go with Don's comment about oysters or mussels, that's really an ideal kind of flavor profile to go with this kind of wine.
Well, it's delicious. Is that the Riviera the only place retail-wise?
That's the only place, only restaurant that is serving it right now, yes.
And by the way, he sells it all direct anyway, so you can go
anybody
go directly.
Half my business is direct-to-consumer, and we started a wine club about 4 years ago so that anyone can join my wine club and quarterly receive a package of these native Italian varietal wines delivered here in Sonoma County or here in Santa Rosa. I deliver it to their house or their business of their choice. And out of state, anybody could also be a wine club member as long as they comply with their own state laws pertaining to buying wine from out of state.
Of course. It's ChigazolaMerchants.com. You need to check it out. Chigazola. I love that name.
Thank you.
In this country,
it's Chigazola. In Italy, every time I go to Italy on my trips, they immediately pronounce it the correct way, which is Chigazola.
Chigazola.
Chigazola, because the CH is pronounced as a K in Italy.
Yes, exactly. Even I know that. When I was growing up, our family said Vicario, V-I-C-A-R-I-O. For the last 30 years, I've changed it to Vicario, which is, from what I understand, the way they say it in Naples. So I don't know. It's just, you know.
Research trip coming up to Naples.
Yeah.
Vasario. I've heard
Vasario. Yeah, it's not Vasario. Over all these years, I've gotten some Mr. Vicuca. No, it's Vicario. Whatever. We're going to Italy in April.
Yes, we are.
Fantastic.
Where are you going?
First time. I don't know. I'm just going crazy in Italy. That's what I'm doing. Well, I got to go to Naples.
Yes.
But I also want to go north, too. But anyway, enough of that. Don Chigazola is here, and a non-Italian guy. Why can't I remember your name? It's Bob?
Bob Andrews.
Bob Andrews. You know, we're talking about Vicario and Chigazola, and I can't remember Bob Andrews.
The Italians used to be able to remember it because they had a liver medicine. And so I would say, Andreus, come la medicina per il fegato.
Medicine for what?
For the liver.
liver medicine. I could use some of that. You still have any on you?
I think over here they call it Carter's little pills.
Yeah, okay.
Remember those?
Yeah. I remember my mother used to say, more than Carter's has liver pills or something. And I was like, I don't know, whatever. Okay, so this is a...
Longa Nebbiolo. So Longa is the district, and Nebbiolo is the grape. And the grape variety is the same one that makes Barbaresco and Barolo.
Barolo, so, yeah.
And these wines typically do benefit from a long time. Now, this is an unusual flavor. You'll never see this in an American wine. This flavor doesn't come across. This is like walnut aftertaste. It's got that, like... walnut component in it.
This is delicious, though.
This is really good stuff.
This is a very elegant wine.
This goes great with pastas with sausage. The sausage has this rustic character. And
salsich.
Yeah, right, exactly. This is it.
Mike, will you whip up some pasta with salsich while you're in the kitchen there? So that's delicious. What's the alcohol on this, Don?
Let me check. This is going to be 14.
Okay.
That's
pretty big.
Tell us a little bit about this, Don.
Let me tell you about this family. Wine. Again, the winery is Fontana Bianca, and this is the Pola family, and they're located in this medieval village called Neve. And the family has been producing fabulous native Rioja wines for generations. The grandfather was the first to really commercialize it in the late 60s, and they've been producing world-class Barbaresco wines since 1969. The current winemaker is the grandson, Matteo, but it's very much a family operation, and he works very closely with his father, Aldo, to help manage. They do all their own vineyard management, all their own production, and they're also helped by the mother, Luisella. And very small production. In total, they do about 40,000 bottles of all their wines. So it's fairly small production. But I've been fortunate to have met them really by chance. I was in the area looking for the Barolo, the Big Red, the King of Wines and the Wine of Kings. Stayed at a was referred to stay at a castle called Castello de Sinio in a little village called Sinio, very near them. And that is a story all in itself. Old castle that was purchased and renovated by a woman named Denise Pardini out of San Francisco.
Really?
She has Italian heritage and decided to use her success to go renovate a castle. And she's turned it into a 5-star hotel.
You talked about this last time, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was there looking for Barolo, staying at Denise's Castello de Sinio and having dinner with her one night. And she said, well, you are going to bring in a Barbaresco, aren't you? And I said, well, I'm not here for that, but do you have one to recommend? And she said, yes, you have to meet the Pola family at Fontana Bianca. It is the best Barbaresco in the area. So she made an appointment for me. Drove over to a short drive, about 12 kilometers from the town of Alba, and met with the Pola family and immediately fell in love with them and their wines. And, of course, they started by pouring me the white, the Arnaise. Wasn't there for that, but fell in love with it immediately. And I decided as soon as I tasted the Arnaise, I don't care about the rest of their wines. I'm bringing this Arnaise back to the United States. Ended up loving all of their wines, and so they produced the Nebbiolo, the Barbera de Alba, which you're going to taste in just a minute. And then their flagship is the Barbaresco. And they have a Grand Cru, a vineyard that is very famous there called Bordini. And so you're going to be tasting their Barbaresco Bordini.
Talk about, if you would, the difference between Barbaresco
And Nebbiolo and so forth. Barbaresco is made slightly differently from Barolo because the law requires a little bit less time in the barrels and a little bit less time at the property. So these wines typically have a little bit shorter shelf life. They're not aged in the cellar quite as long. I still have a couple of bottles of some 1971 Barbaresco, but it's past its prime, but we'll still drink it anyway.
Well, you are Dan Berger.
We'll do our thing. You know. The Nebbiolo also makes the Barolo, which is a higher level wine, but it also makes this this one we just finished drinking, which was the Longa Nebbiolo, which is essentially just a varietal wine. It's a the designation is used for a lower priced and less aged necessary wine. So this Longa Nebbiolo is priced cheaper, easier to get to. You don't have to age it as long. We have a few in the cellar that are about 12 or 14 years old, but we typically drink them up. As you noticed, it tasted pretty good on its own. So.
Yeah. Now, This one.
So, as Dan mentioned, the Nebbiolo is aged 6 months in oak, and the Barbaresco is a DOCG, so it's the highest denomination, and it is a minimum aging of 18 months. And they do another 6 months in the bottle. So this
Ooh,
is
I like this
be,
one better than the
this is
the other one.
Two steps ahead. This is a big jump forward.
Yeah. How much is this?
This one is $60 a bottle.
Yeah, so, I can believe that.
Their production is very limited.
Yeah.
They only produce about 400 cases in total of this
Now, line. I will tell you, just very frankly, when we buy Barbaresco, which I don't do much anymore because I've got so much in the cellar now, but when I was younger and I was buying Barbaresco, you had to give it 25 years. You had to just say, okay, buy the wine, put it in the cellar. Don't even look for the bottle for 25. What do you think, Bob? Is that
now?
About right? Yeah, well, I mean, not for us now, but I mean, when...
In the old days?
In the 80s, when we were buying Barbaresco. Yeah.
That's the old days.
It was a rougher, tougher wine then.
Yeah, it was. And you needed time in the bottle. And we've had them, and they, you know, 20 years later, they're just fabulous. And this is made for that.
Bob, Steve, your this thoughts? Is, okay, go ahead.
Steve, this is a 2010 vintage, so this wow. already has 8 years on it. But
nice.
It's still considered a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. 25 years?
Oh, well, go for it, Bob.
I mean, you and I are too old to lay down wine for another 25 years. So drink it now. Bob, your thoughts?
Well, you could drive around with it in the trunk of your car.
Apparently, you've heard the show before.
That accelerate the process. But this is a beautiful wine even now at these 8 years of age. And listeners should understand that it's not a Zinfandel that you can't see through. Is in fact, if you put it up next to your watch, you can still read your watch through the wine. So it has marvelous intensity while at the same time not being a Syrah.
It's not extracted. This is a wine that just basically does its own thing. It's less labor intensive. All right.
Well, it's delicious, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
Again, it's Don Chigazola, the ChigazolaMerchants.com. You should really check it out if you are into wine, and especially Italian wines. Bob Andrews is here, my new Italian friend who doesn't have an Italian name. It's been a long time since we've seen him.
It is.
And, of course, Dan Berger. I just got a text from Barry Herbst at Bottle Barn. He is stuck in the office and dealing with business, so he won't be in today. But he'll join us next week. It's California Wine Country. By the way, check out our podcast. If you miss any of these episodes, you can catch them all on a podcast. You can go to anywhere where fine podcasts are offered. And you can go to calwinecountry.com, and they're all right there. Make sure you subscribe. Did I get that right this time?
You got the word correctly, yes.
Okay. I can never remember that. It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, with my co-host Dan Berger. Today, the great Don Chigazola from ChigazolaMerchants.com. You should check it out, especially if you're interested at all in Italian wines. And Bob Andrezzini is here, my new Italian friend.
Roberto
Andrezzini, yeah. It's Bob Andrews, folks. Okay, now this latest, during the break, Dan looked at me and said, I think this is going to be something that you and I both love, and I have to say, that is really good. Explain what it is.
This is a Barbera. And it's the way Barbera should be made. There are lots of Barberas that are made with bigger, more extracted flavors. I don't think they're necessarily appropriate for the region. This is the style of wine that you want. It's a wine that doesn't require a lot of time in the cellar. You can put it away for 6 or 8 years if you want to, but you can drink it now. It has less tannin. It has more acid. And so this goes with...
Now, explain that, because, you know...
Well, there's theoretically
there's people
similar.
Out here who, listening, who drink wine, love wine, but, when, you know, when you get into tannins and acid, it, you know...
Acids.
I got into acid in college, but that's a whole, that's a whole other story.
Okay. So acid is really the stuff that comes out of a lemon, all right? So that's tart, okay? Tannin is not tart as much as it is gritty. It's almost like that putting your tongue on a piece of sandpaper. So it's that hard material that you...
Way to sell the wine, Dan.
Yeah, well, but it's really necessary.
You could drink this, or you could lick a piece of sandpaper. I didn't know.
Depending on the grit number, yes. Obviously. No,
I know what you mean.
But all red wine has tannin. In fact, white wine even has tannin. Mm-hmm. The problem is that it's not particularly necessary for certain wines. It isn't necessary for white wine. It isn't necessary for red. If you buy Beaujolais and drink Beaujolais, nothing but Beaujolais for the rest of your life, you won't drink any tannin. There's none in it. Mm-hmm. There are some, but not. It's not astringent. Here, the balance is just perfect for pasta. Put pasta together with tomato sauce and some serious quality olive oil. You need a Barbera because the tomatoes have acid.
Right.
And the Barbera has acid. So there's a balance of flavors in your mouth. This is like if you try to put a Cabernet Sauvignon together with pasta with tomato sauce, it's like two things clashing.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
They're fighting each other.
Yeah.
Wow. Roberto Andresini, your thoughts on this, sir?
Si, signore.
Yeah.
Listeners should know that this Barbera has more color than the Barbaresco.
Yes, I noticed that.
But the Barbaresco has more tannin than this has, just as Dan indicated.
But see, I like this better, personally, than the Barbaresco.
Well, it's a little rounder.
Okay.
It's more approachable at this stage.
Yeah, okay.
10 years from now, that Barbaresco is going to be just in great shape, and this one will be a little bit on the backside, as they say.
I agree. About the backside.
Roberto agrees. Don Chigazola, you import all this stuff. Your thoughts on this?
So this is a 2013 vintage Barbera de Alba. Now, for the listeners, there are three different denominations of Barbera in northern Italy in the Piemonte district. Barbera de Alba is one of the most well-known. The other one people will recognize is Barbera de Asti. They're neighboring sub-districts, and so they're right next to each other, but if you were to taste a Barbera de Asti next to this Barbera de Alba, you would not know they were the same grape. They are completely different, and it's all about terroir. It's all about the soil. The Barbera de Astis are extremely astringent in the mouth. They've actually now created a third denomination in the area, and it's called Nizza. And so
Nizza.
Nizza, N-I-Z-Z-A.
Oh, Nizza.
Nizza. But it also is 100% Barbera. And so you've got Nizza, Barbera de Asti, and then Barbera de Alba, all right there, all 100% Barbera grape.
Not far from the river called Rocchetta Tanaro. You want to remember all this, I'm sure, for the test that's coming next period.
Dan Bergerini. Dan Bergerini talking about his Italian roots here. Well, it's delicious. And if someone goes to ChigasolaMerchants.com,
they will find it. And this wine retails for $26 a bottle.
Holy crap.
This is really delicious wine.
Yes.
This is really good value. There's a lot of Barberas out there that will sell for $30 to $35. They're trying to capture your attention with maybe fancy labels or something like that. This is serious wine with no frills. This is very, very highly carefully made to capture the fruit and not much more. I mean, you've got all that you need out of a Barbera is in this bottle.
Now, we want everyone to go to Chigazola, Chigazola.
In Italy, it's pronounced Chigazola.
Yeah, because C-H is a K sound.
Correct.
Yeah, I got it.
ChigazolaMerchants.com.
Okay, and I don't want to, because that's where you should go, folks, to check out these great wines that Don offers on that website. But
actually, Steve, you could also go to Bottle Barn to
that's
Barry,
where I was going, dude.
Barry does carry several of my wines there at Bottle Bar.
Yeah. All right. And as far as restaurants, et cetera, besides Bottle Barn, as far as retail, I mean...
So as far as retail, you could also find my wines at Oliver's Markets. In fact, they carry the Barbaresco Bordini that you enjoyed this afternoon.
That makes
sense. You could also find my wines at Willoughby's here in Santa Rosa.
We love Willoughby's.
And if you
They're
live
doing
in Marin
such a
County,
great job.
You could find a couple of my wines at Vinantico. On 4th Street in San Rafael.
Okay. Very cool. It's Keys. I'm going to say Chigazolamerchants.com. You need to check it out. Bob, your thoughts? Roberto?
All of these wines have a wonderful sense of place. So in tasting them, you realize this is what's produced in a particular part of the Piedmont of Italy. And that's a nice experience.
I can make this even simpler, and to make it simpler by saying, forget trying to master Italian wine. Just forget it.
Yeah, because it's very confusing.
It's
in
almost
many
impossible.
Ways. Yeah.
How many grapes? This new book came out, Native Grapes of Italy, and this book came out, and it's the Bible.
400.
How much?
There's over 400 native Italian varietal wines.
400. Different native Italian varietal wines.
Yeah, how can you wrap your head around that?
Yeah, you can't figure that one out.
It's my mission to cover them all.
I'm sure it is, Don. And we trust you to do that.
The descriptions in the book are fascinating because, you know, there's some descriptions in that book that make no sense to me whatsoever. He's talking about flavors and aromatics I had never even imagined. But he's a really fascinating guy. His name is Ian DeGatta. And when this book came out, I got a review copy of it, and I said, how many people in this world care about 400 different grape varieties? Well, ultimately, nobody, bottom line, because trying to understand all this is complicated enough. And when you finally get to a cafe, you're sitting in a cafe in Florence across from the Uffizi, and you say, have a glass of the house red. You ask for the Carta di Vini. No Carta di Vini. Rosso Bianco. That's it. It's red and white.
Yeah.
So then you ask what's in the red, and he says, it's wine.
Hard to argue that, I suppose.
But it's fun, you know, and half a carafe of something, and you say, yeah, it's just me and my wife, so we'll just have a half a carafe. And in about 7 minutes, it's all gone. You say, where did that go? Did it just evaporate? What happened?
Exactly. But you should know better than order just a half a carafe.
Well, we figured it out on the second day.
Dan is spot on about this reference book, though. I added it to my library when I started this business, and it's my go-to book. And before I make any of my exploratory trips to Italy looking for new wines, I always consult with this book first.
And when did it come out?
Just about a year ago.
Really?
Yeah, and it's $48 or something like that. It's a little bit more than the average person wants to spend on a book that's so obscure. My favorite, shall we call it, introduction to Italian wine came from the 1980 book called Vino. It was written by Burton Anderson, and it was published in 1980, and it was really a kind of a groundbreaking book. Not only was it very educational and very entertaining, but it was extremely well written and very erudite in a certain way. And it made wine from this – I mean, it leaped off the page. As soon as you got to that first chapter on Aosta, you opened the book, you read chapter one, and about four paragraphs in, your first thought was, I got to buy a ticket to go to Aosta. This was the kind of book that really brings Italian wines alive for people. I think more people are missing the point about Italian wines. They are really to go with food. California wines you drink wherever you are. It doesn't make any difference. You're on a patio, you're sitting around on the beach, whatever, you drink the wine. Italian wine, you need some food.
And, okay, this last one.
The Barbera Alba.
Yeah. I could have it with anything, but I'm thinking pasta.
Well, next time you're at Riviera Restaurant, they have it on their wine list, okay. And I would suggest you pair it with, of course, any of their pastas with red sauces, but their fettuccine bolognese with this Barbera Alba, and you'll be very happy.
Wow.
These are the kinds of things that most people don't tell you in wine books. They try to make it seem as if you open a book, it's got 150 pages in it, and that every page is supposed to be alluring and enticing.
Sure.
It isn't. Come on, let's be realistic. There are certain grapes that are better than others. But the problem is that the writer of the book is trying to sell a manuscript to a book publisher, and they're trying to make it all sound so good. Italian wine doesn't have to sound good. It just has to be authentic to place, authentic to the varietal.
That's what Bob was saying, too,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, that's it.
So if the choice was buying the book about Italian wine grapes or two bottles of the Barbera.
No, go for the Barbera.
Go for the Barbera. I think the most fun thing about Italian wines is the fact that there's never any such thing as burnout. Wherever you are, the local grape is what – you know. We went to San Gimignano on our last trip, and we were looking to get a red wine with our pizza, and the waitress said, no, no, no. Bianco. Why? And she says, that's what we do here.
Because it's grown here.
That's it. So we had white wine with our pizza. So that's.
And I bet it was delicious.
It was great. It was fine.
Probably not a red sauce pizza, though.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. I brought up The Sopranos earlier just because I've been re-binge watching. I've seen every one for 100 times. But I was over the weekend, had 5 days off, and I was binge watching through the series and the seasons. And there was somebody on there that said, took a sip of the wine and said, there's nothing like the wine that's grown in the region you're in, something like that.
Yeah, my favorite story about this is, we have a couple of minutes. All right, so my wife and I were visiting Torino, but our flight was late, and we finally got into northern Italy in Milan, and it was like 10:30 at night, and we didn't have a chance to get to Torino that night, so we just decided to take a hotel room on the outskirts of Milan and say, we'll just have some dinner. So the only place that was open was a little cafe about two miles away. We took a walk for 2 miles at 10:30 at night, and we finally got to the restaurant, and I said, Carta Divini? He said, no, Carta Divini, Rosso e Bianco. So I said, okay, so it's basically white or red. That's your choice. So I said, okay, Rosso. He says, reserve o normale? Reserve or normal?
What the hell does that mean?
Well, it was obviously something, you know.
Different. The reserve was something
reserve
special?
Reserve was an extra 38 cents or whatever.
There's a difference in price.
Yeah, it's a slightly difference in price. Yeah. So I said, I'll take a carafe of the reserva. So he brings a bottle, a carafe, that was still fermenting. Still bubbles coming out of it.
That's why it's a reserva.
And I said, reserva? It's reserva. He says, it was like thumbs up, so to speak. And I'm thinking to myself, if this is their version of reserva, what could the normale be?
Oh.
How is that?
The normale is still grapes.
Yeah. It's just a glass of grapes.
Thank you, Bob.
Oh, man.
Did you drink it?
It was fine. It was good. It was ultra pavese, if you know that.
No, we don't. All right, we're wrapping up this week's California Wine Country with Dan Berger. And today we're featuring our good friend, Italian wine importer Don Cigazzola, and Roberto Androsini is here. He goes by Bob Andrews, but you got to go to CigazzolaMerchants.com and check out these fine wines. Many of them you can only get there, but, you know, I have not been to Riviera in Montgomery Village yet.
No, they're on Montgomery Avenue, 75 Montgomery Avenue, across from Memorial Hospital.
Oh, right. My friend used to have that place.
Yes.
Years it was.
I know who you're talking about.
Yes. Franco was one of the guys.
What's his last?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, okay. I know exactly where
Luca
it is.
And Rita, Luca Pesce and Rita Faglia are the owners, and they do a fabulous job. I'm in Italy several times a year. If I want to eat like I'm eating in Italy, Riviera.
I got to get over there. Yeah, across from Memorial Hospital. It's been an Italian restaurant for 30-some years.
Yes.
Fabiani, wasn't it? Franco.
Yeah.
At one point, it was a pharmacy that had wine in the back.
Get out of here.
No.
during what?
Really?
Yeah.
He's also a local historian.
Yes. I love this guy. Okay, so we've got just a couple minutes, right, Mike? Three, two. Oh, we got 2 minutes. Okay, so let's wrap this up.
Well, Steve, I currently bring in over 60 wines imported from about 10 different families in 6 different regions of Italy, and I invite any of your listeners to get in touch with me if they want to experience some native Italian Verano wines.
Cigazolamerchants.com. It's C-H-I-G-A-Z-O-L-A. And if you can't remember that, just Google Italian wines, Sonoma County, and you'll get it right here.
And next week, either next week or the week after, we're going to have Jeff Hinchliff, who's the winemaker for Hannah. Hannah Winery.
Do we have Simino next week? Or is that 2 weeks? We don't know.
We don't know.
We're clueless.
No phone calls. We're just.
An email today from Tom, so okay. I don't know whether it's next week or I think it's maybe 2 weeks from today. But
we'll figure it out.
Bob Andrews, quickly explain how you have all this knowledge and what it is you do besides being a good friend of Dan Berger. And a good friend of the show.
There are only 2 things that are required: reading and drinking.
Two of my favorite things.
Yeah, reading helps you understand what the context is of the wines that we're drinking. And then you need to drink as much as possible.
I told you I love this guy.
Well, Steve, I'll share with you a story. When I first started this business, I did not know Bob Andrews. And shortly after I started the business and my website went live, I get an order from someone in Santa Rosa I didn't know named Bob Andrews. And when I delivered the wine, I got to know him, and what I've come to learn is that Bob has lived in Italy and speaks Italian very well, and between he and Dan, I consider them two of the most knowledgeable gentlemen in Northern California on Italian wines.
Wow. That's saying something. You guys, great to see you.
Thank you.
And don't make it another 35 years, Roberto. great to see you. And, Don, always a pleasure. And before we go to Italy in April, we'll be hooking up with you to, you know, both of you to talk about some of the things that we need to do when we're there. So,
mio piacere.
Yeah. Grazie. Dan, something's happening next week. We're not sure what yet. At this point, we'll figure it out.
I'll be here, no matter what.
Yes, so will I. okay, very cool. California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn. That's it for us. Have a great Wednesday night.